Welcome back, guys, to the Schwartz NFL Podcast. Finally getting this thing going back on a Tuesday night. Right now it's about 8:22 Eastern, meaning if you're watching the World Series, it's game one, probably about half an inning in, Dodgers-Astros. A lot going on there. The NBA season has started, and of course, we're 7 weeks into the NFL season. I was happy and excited to be at Pat's Falcons Sunday night. Ended up being that no one could see it back home, or so I've heard. I was at the game. It was a great one for Pats fans. Cousin Dylan, he's here as always. And he also had the pleasure of watching Pats Falcons on TV. How was the fog looking, man?
I mean, it was cool. They switched the other angle to see all these plays. And every time Brady, or even Ryan, especially Brady, though, since we're Pats fans, anytime he went back to pass, I'm like, why is he releasing the balls and get picked off? I mean, from the angles that we were looking at. But I saw a tweet as well saying some guys watching this game through an Instagram filter. I mean, it was hilarious, really. But it was cool to see NBC utilize all the angles and really the fog was like an added element, you know, of how important the game was. Just like those classic conditions until it got kind of unbearable on the screen.
Exactly, and like apparently everyone though was praising the view that we're probably never going to get again, which is like that Madden view where you get to see Brady, you know, throw those passes. How was that to get to see Brady throw those passes, you know, almost from his view, just a little bit higher?
It was unreal, and it told me that I would have 0% chance to ever play quarterback in the NFL because I would never get intercepted, honestly. So it brings a whole new, understanding of some of these quarterbacks. And maybe if quarterback's not playing as well, maybe I have a newfound understanding of how really tough it is playing quarterback in this league.
Yeah, definitely. Because some of those passes, you know, I actually was intrigued and went home and ended up looking at some of the broadcast highlights just because I wanted to see it. One, because everyone was talking about it because of the fog. And two, just because of that. And there's some of those throws, which, you know, the one he threw in that seam route to Cooks where Brandon Cooks just like leaned, I don't know what he dives onto the ground. Looked like, I don't know how it wasn't picked. And then I don't know how it wasn't incomplete. I mean, there was just craziness going on. And it really, the whole game, obviously, it was the Super Bowl rematch. Everyone was hyping it up. It was great for Pats fans. The Pats played well. Overall, might not have been the best game. Thinking back from takeaways from this week, this is obviously the game most people are talking about. Do you think this win, this Pats win, was more about the Pats or more about the Falcons, you know, seemingly continuing to struggle?
I think it was more about the Patriots. They had allowed 300 yards passing, over 300 yards passing in every single game up to it. And I think if the defending MVP come into their building, Super Bowl rematch, wanting revenge, Dan Quinn, who somebody need to give that guy a hug based on how many times he went for fourth down. He was still obviously reeling from the Super Bowl.
Right.
Go for it on fourth down and, you know, when you would never really do that, especially in New England. And they come in and they only give up, I think it was like 230 or 40 yards passing to the defending MVP. And so for me, I think the Patriots defense has really started to come along. I think they've only averaged about 13 or 14 points a game the last 3 weeks. So it's really coming together, I think, for the Patriots defense, and they're doing it without Stephon Gilmore and Eric Rowe, two of their, you would say, three main corners. So, and of course, the offense, maybe it wasn't as crisp as it has been or has been in the past, but it was definitely good enough to get the job done, and you can only improve from there. Brady spread the ball out a lot. Got lucky with that one touchdown where he kind of just dinked the ball into Cooks. But, yeah, I was very excited to see that game. I was a little nervous, to be honest, based on how our defense had played, but it was, in my opinion, the best overall performance of the season.
Definitely. When you look at the Pats, obviously everyone was panicking. I mean, this happens, you know. Even as someone who follows the Pats, I was even seemingly panicking a little bit more than usual. And I talked about it before, obviously, we started this podcast, as we do sometimes. And you know what? New England does this not every year, but almost seemingly every other year. They start off like this, whether they win the Super Bowl, go to it, or don't make it at all, which usually means an AFC Championship loss. They start off with not one, but like two losses early. Usually it's like 2-2, and even the two wins aren't very good, which is indicative of this year. But this year seemed a little different. The defense was historically bad. Historically bad. And somehow now, without Stephon Gilmore and Eric Rowe, their number two and three corners, you know, they throw in Jonathan Batamosi, a special teams guy they traded to Detroit for. And all of a sudden, he steps in and things are going smoothly. Kyle Van Noy was playing awfully. Now he's playing great. You look at this. It's just insane that they could continue to do this again and again. And now transitioning into our next topic, going over some of the seeds. This is something we'll probably discuss later on in our, you know, and probably what will be our second podcast compared to last year, in which Thanksgiving weekend, you know, with 4 weeks to go, we'll talk about, you know, all the playoff races in depth. But we're going to preview this a little early and quickly here. Patriots, all of a sudden, three-way tie with the Steelers and Chiefs at 5-2. The Chiefs, obviously a crazy contest with the Raiders that Thursday night, which I missed it at a steakhouse, and you were texting me. But you look at those three teams. What do you see? I know it's early. I know we have 9 games to go. But in terms of seeding in the AFC, who do you think gets what seed?
It's hard to call. It really is hard to call. I think the teams Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and New England, I think, will be in some sort of combination. I think the top three. I think they are still a level above the other AFC teams. Me personally, just based off of the last, you know, past 15, 16 years, I can't go wrong with New England. And it's really down to, you know, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Pittsburgh beat Kansas City on the road 2 weeks ago. And, you know, they're looking better now. As Kansas City is a little bit, you know, maybe regressing after that hot start. The defense, who, you know, we've always thought about the last couple of years, Kansas City having a great defense. And this year, they really haven't been that great of a defense, honestly. You can look at, you know, them demolishing New England at the start of the year, but New England moved the ball pretty well and put up 27 points against that defense. And everybody thought, oh, well, that's a, you know, number top five defense, number one defense in the league.
Right.
So I'm going to predict here, you know, obviously only week 7 going into week 8. I'm going to go New England number 1, Pittsburgh 2, and Kansas City as the 3 seed. But of course, you know, that can change after the next 10 weeks.
Definitely. And I'm looking at this now. I kind of did a quick glance. I actually have the same thing, but barely. I think I'm starting to think Kansas City will be that 3 seed, which sounds silly because I think they're the most talented team in the AFC. I think they still are. Even with losing Eric Berry, they had a great defense. Marcus Peters, Justin Houston, that pass rush. Combined with, you know, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce. I think they're still the most talented team in the AFC. Not to say the Steelers and Pats aren't talented, because they might be the second and third most talented teams, you know, in the league right after. Those might be the three, really, right now. But looking at this, the Patriots have some tough games, and they go to Pittsburgh. They go to Pittsburgh, whereas Pittsburgh gets that game, obviously, at home. And looking at the rest of their schedule, you know, at Indy. You know, I know at Detroit's not the best, but home against Green Bay, a game that would have been more tough had Aaron Rodgers been playing. Obviously, they will not be playing. Home against Baltimore, home against Pats, at Bengals, and at Texans. Pittsburgh seems to have the better chance in terms of schedule. So that'll be interesting to see. It looks like that Pats at Steelers game on December 17th, which is week 15. I mean, that might decide it. That might decide it. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Pittsburgh, you know, as that number one seed in the AFC. Obviously, New England has had their way with Pittsburgh, but the regular season, you know, might be a different story. And you know, it's kind of funny to look at these schedules and kind of predict what's going on. Of course, we have no earthly idea really at this point, especially in a crazy ass season that's been happening here. What about the NFC? I know there's like a bevy of teams, probably 10 you can pick from. Give me seeds 1 through 4. I guess go down each division and then kind of order them there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to do it with some, you know, really tight race, I think, in the divisions. I think the Eagles are basically 3-4 games ahead in their division.
Right.
So I think the Eagles, you can pencil them in for one of those seeds. I think they do fall off because they do have, I don't remember the exact schedule, but I think it's kind of a gauntlet coming up. So we'll see how they do against really, really good teams coming up. Looking at the NFC West with the Rams, Seahawks, I think they're the only two teams that have a chance of making the playoffs. Obviously, the 49ers winless, Cardinals, no Carson Palmer, so I think they're going to mail it in pretty much. But I think the Rams overall actually look better than Seattle. Obviously, you know, Seattle beat them. But as of now, I would put the Rams to win the division and then go in the NFC North. There's really Vikings, Packers, the Lions were there. They've really fallen off. They have a big opportunity, though, coming, you know, Pittsburgh comes to them Sunday night. So the big opportunity to maybe reprove themselves to the league and to the American public. I'm actually going to go with the Vikings to take that division. I think that's really the obvious pick with no Rodgers for the Packers and the Lions kind of reeling right now. Obviously the Bears. And in the South, the team I've been high on the past couple of weeks, the Saints, won 4 in a row. I think they take the division. I think the Saints could even sneak into a first-round bye to keep this up, honestly. They've won 4 in a row. They've proven they can beat their division teams, and they're really tough to beat at home. So I'm going to go, I guess, if you really want an order, I'm going to go 1 Eagles, 2 Saints, 3 Vikings, 4 Rams.
I that's nice. So you do have Rams. You think Rams will win that division over Seattle?
I said through 7 weeks, I think they've looked overall better. But again, they're hard to trust. You know, right. Being the really first year of being.
And they could have won that game. That was going to bring me to my next question with you, specifically looking at these teams. Seattle's a whole other animal. We were talking about them earlier. I still think they'll win the division, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams do. The Rams have been playing more consistently. But looking at these teams, the Vikings, we know them. They have a good defense. The quarterback situation's all over the place, but they do have great receivers. Thielen and Diggs have stepped up into maybe the best receiver tandem. You're looking at Vikings, the talented Rams, and the Saints, who've won four straight. Obviously, Saints are struggling on defense. Rams are just young. So Vikings, Rams, Saints. Do any of these teams have a chance, do you think, to hoist the Lombardi Trophy in February? And if not, which team do you think has the best shot in the dark?
Yeah, as you said, I don't think any of these teams have a legit shot to win the Super Bowl. But I think the best shot would be the Saints, in my opinion. I think I want to trust Drew Brees. The defense has been playing better. They have a stud receiver, Michael Thomas. That they have Willie Snead back now as well. They have that talented running back core now. Mark Ingram's playing like a bat out of hell now since Peterson's right. been traded, and you have the talented other running back out of the backfield, rookie Alvin Kamara out of UT. Shout out to all my Knoxville friends there for producing him. But I think it'd be the Saints. The Vikings have the best defense of these three teams, which. Recently, you know, has bode well for playoff teams, is having a better defense than offense. But I'm going to do with the Saints. I think Drew Brees, especially if he gets a couple home playoff games, has a good shot to get to an NFC title game, even a Super Bowl. But I don't think I'd be really surprised if they made the Super Bowl, honestly. But I think of those three teams, I would go with the Saints. That's just me personally.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I think I'd go with the Vikings for no other reason, just because they have a defense. It seems like the Vikings and Saints have more problems in terms of Vikings at quarterback, Saints in defense, although they played better, than the Rams, in which the Rams are talented on both sides of the ball. It's just that we haven't seen them in any sort of, you know, well-positioned place in a long time. But I mention those teams specifically because I do think, and you probably would agree, maybe not with the teams, but, you know, I look at a Seattle and I look at, you know, Atlanta and Dallas are 3-3. I know how bad Atlanta's look, but, you know, I trust one of those three to, you know, pour it on later in the year and challenge Philly, I think, than I would the three that I had you pick from. That's exactly why I did the question, just to see, you know, kind of gauge where you see any of these teams are, which is kind of a little contender pretender thing, which is why we're going into the AFC. I know you said you like Buffalo more than Miami, and obviously you can talk about that if you want, but I picked three teams specifically. The 4-3 Jaguars, who, by the way, are going for like a total team sack record. They had 10 again on Brissett and the poor Colts on Sunday in that blowout win. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Denver Broncos, and the Oakland Raiders. I know the Raiders won, they lost four straight. They win one. All of a sudden, they're back in the limelight. They're in my top 10 rankings this week. But Jaguars, Broncos, Raiders. Kind of rank them in terms of where they'll be, you know, around December.
I think in terms of record, I think the Raiders will have the best record. I don't know if they'll be good enough to get to the playoffs because, you know, that division is tight and there's a lot of other teams in the AFC with the 3-3, 3-4, you know, 4-2 record or something like that. So the Raiders are in for another competition. They have to get on a roll here if they want to make the playoffs. So, but I don't think the Raiders are the best team out of those three you mentioned because I don't think the Jaguars are even the best team in their division. I think the Texans are, and, you know, they're a half game back, so they had in the bye week. But I think the Texans are the best team in the AFC South, and they're sitting in third place at the moment. And their team was the Broncos, right?
The Broncos, correct.
Yeah, the Broncos, I just have not – they've just completely fallen off. I remember the first couple of games, Trevor Siemian was absolutely bawling. I was on this podcast crediting him, saying Denver could really be a huge force. We know how good – their defense is, especially at home in the Mile High City. And with Siemian, you know, he threw 3 or 4 touchdowns in one of those games. I mean, he was absolutely balling. And everybody was saying, well, if Siemian has improved this much, you know, we're looking at Denver as a possible Super Bowl contender. And they go in 3-1 into that, you know, primetime game against the winless Giants, completely crap the bed. And then they get shut out at San Diego. San Diego.
Everyone does. Yep. Al Michaels did it too. Don't worry.
Yep. Crapped the bed at home against the Giants, and they get shut out at Los Angeles So there's really not a lot of upside right now. Trevor Siemian looks like a shell of himself from the first couple weeks. The defense is still good. It's not like the defense has been playing bad. It's just been under immense pressure because the offense has not gotten anything going. So I would say I break the Jaguars ahead of the Broncos right now because the Jaguars, in their four wins, have been absolutely blowing teams out. Honestly, I've read something that said, I think like they were the first team and one of the first or few teams in NFL history to like win their first four games by a certain margin, and it was like 20 points or something like that, something crazy. So I think the Jaguars are a tad above the Broncos, but I think the Raiders, even though they're in last place in the AFC West, I think the Raiders have the best shot of those three teams to maybe get to the playoffs.
All right, that's a good one. I think the Raiders as well. I like Oakland, even though they're 3-4, they're struggling. Don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I think they are in the future once they fix some things on defense and when Derek Carr can stay healthy. Not the best slate of games coming up, but we'll roll through two quick ones just because they mean a lot in the AFC. I'll have you just talk about them both in terms of this. Sunday night and Monday night game. So the two main primetime ones this week, Pittsburgh at Detroit, Denver at Kansas City. Do either Pittsburgh or KC lose? And if not, what do you see happening in these?
I can definitely see, Pittsburgh and Kansas City will be the favorites, and I can definitely see one, if not both of these teams, potentially dropping a game. You know, Lions are at home in the Dome. They usually can put up points there. I know they've been reeling these past few weeks, you know, ever since that non-touchdown bogus call against Atlanta a few weeks ago. They've really been reeling ever since that. But this is their big chance. To me, this game is their season, in my opinion. If they don't win this game, they fade off into mediocrity, you know, 7-9, 8-8, like usual Detroit Lions stuff. Mm-hmm. If they win, this could really spring them to maybe start competing again with Green Bay and Minnesota in the division and try to keep pace with them. I really do think that Detroit can exploit the Pittsburgh defense if they have the matchups to do it. Still the key of that is Golden Tate. We don't know if he'll be there. He's been, you know, banged up. But I do think the Lions could win this game. In my opinion, it'll be tough. It'll be high scoring, in my opinion. I do think Pittsburgh will win in the end, but I think Detroit keeps it close. But I think Big Ben, who's been playing a little bit better since that Jaguars performance, will get it done. And then moving on to the Monday night game, one of these teams, Broncos or Chiefs, is going to lose three straight, and that's going to, you know, have a huge, huge impact on how the fans think. As well as how the league views them, the league views them. I'm picking Kansas City because it's hard not to pick them at Arrowhead, especially with all the success they've had recently. But with the Broncos defense, you can never really count them out of a game. And I think it's going to be an old school physical style game where the front seven of the Broncos is going to go up against the offensive line of the Chiefs, and whoever wins that battle is going to really have, the advantage in this game. I do think Kansas City will win, but Denver keeps it close. And, again, the same thing about the Lions. This is pretty much, I think, in my opinion, their season. They could fade off into obscurity after this game. So it's two hugely important games for Detroit and Denver. I wouldn't be surprised if any of them won, but I am picking the favorites on both of these primetime games.
Yeah, and I think, to me, Pittsburgh's been playing a little better. A little bit better than Kansas City has, the two teams we're mainly talking about here. I think actually Denver has more of a shot to win in KC than Detroit does to win at home against Pittsburgh. It sounds silly, but you know, you have that AFC West connection. Denver is a good defense. Kansas City, I know they're going to get a 10-day rest here after two losses and four nights, but they haven't been reeling because they probably should have beat Oakland, but you know, something's starting to not click there at that defense. I don't know if it's Eric Berry. I don't know what it is, but we'll see what happens. It's either going to be Kansas City really putting the clamp on a struggling Denver offense, or maybe Trevor Siemian, who doesn't seem to be anything more but just inconsistent. Maybe he becomes capable again. But I do have both Pittsburgh and KC, and that was basically the only games I said worth mentioning. We both got New England beating the Chargers. But to close it off, we got two things to mention. One, I forgot it last week. Your dad, my Uncle Gary, he likes to challenge me on these picks when I put them on Facebook or Twitter. It goes either way sometimes. He picked four different ones for me, and all four of them went his way a week and a half ago. So I want to give a shout-out to him. He's been continuing to get picks right. Probably has a higher record than me, honestly, for the straight-ups, and if he's been calculating himself, at least since he started challenging me on them. So shout-out to him. And two, Shout out to you. We do this thing at the end where we have Dylan here give updates on Cumberland soccer. I believe you have two regular season games left, but yep. You scored your second career goal. It's huge. Obviously, you said you scored in the conference playoffs last year, but you get this goal. You don't have many games left as a senior. Kind of talk about that and give a quick update on what's going on with Cumberland.
Yeah, you know, I was thrilled to score again. You know, as now I'm kind of a converted defender. I don't really, you know, get up the field as much as I, you know, would have used to early in my, you know, collegiate career and before that as well, playing as more of a winger or a midfielder or whatever. But I did come on this game as a winger. I played this game as a winger and ended up scoring a header off a corner, just peeled off the back post and it was left open and you know, it was kind of a lie. I was kind of scared at first because I was so far at the back post and I made sure just to make sure it was going across goal, like it didn't hit the post or anything like that. So I was right next to it. But yeah, it was a nice goal. It sealed the game. I think it was 3-0 at that time. So it was no danger, but, you know, we still were trying to play, you know, as best as possible because we didn't want to, you know, let any stupid goals in or anything. So that kind of effectively killed off the game. But yeah, I was thrilled to get it. We have a game tomorrow, the last conference game. It's huge. The team's going to be a bit more decent than the couple teams we have played recently. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. We've moved up to number 22 in the rankings today as well. Moved up a couple spots. So, again, we're delighted for that. And then the big one's on Saturday. It's non-conference, but they're number 9 in the nation. So, you know, that if we can win these two games and then make a conference final, even if we maybe don't win it, we're feeling good about possibly having an at-large bid to the national tournament. Of course, we'd just rather win the conference tournament, get it over with, you know, celebrate a championship as well as go to the tournament, national tournament with an automatic bid. But yeah, that's an update on Cumberland. It's going pretty well, and we'll see if we can get a result tomorrow.
Definitely. Yeah, and obviously, congrats on the goal. Obviously, this is a great pod today. We had shout-outs. Talk fog. We talk the future of the NFL, the 2017 season. Not a lot of great games this week, but a good slate nonetheless. You got World Series, NBA, NFL, and of course, your soccer playoffs are on the way. But that's going to be it for us this week. Hopefully, we'll get back to this Tuesday routine because it does feel nice. And with that, I say goodbye and see you next week.